It's time for Let's Talk on WPPA, AM 1360, A106 FM, and on the web at WPPARadio.com. Stories making news, special guest interviews, your phone calls, and more. The views expressed on Let's Talk are not necessarily those of the management or staff of WPPA. Now, here's your host, Jay-Z.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to it. It's another edition of Let's Talk. Tuesday morning, hour number one. It is the third Tuesday of the month, and that means it is time for the Schuylkill Headwaters and Red Creek Wildlife Center hour on Let's Talk. John Bondur and Company joins us in studio. John, good morning, my friend, and welcome.
Good morning, Jay-Z. What number show is this?
I was just going to say, you're going to quiz me about January, February, March.
It's number seven. Show number seven of 2026. Jay-Z, thanks for having us on board. I see we changed our name a little bit to include the Red Creek Wildlife Center, and they always have a lot of information to talk about. Peggy Hentz is representing them today. Good morning, Peggy. It's good to have you.
Thanks for being here.
And I have Michael McCullough, who is the director of the Schuylkill Haven Recreation Commission. Michael and I do a lot of work together, and he happens to sit to my right today. Michael, thanks for coming in today.
Anytime. Anytime I get to put my voice out there, I'm good with that, right?
Yep. A couple commercials. Number one is Michael and I participated in a fishing school, if you will, at the Schuylkill County Fairgrounds last Friday. And we helped Hemlock Hannah and her group. We had 22 students that graduated our fishing course. It was a day-long course with 22 little kids running around. It was a very interesting day, Michael.
It really was. You know what? I got to give them credit, though. I was pretty impressed with the age gap that some of those kids were, that they were like, they were all in. There wasn't like they were off and wandering and they were chasing themselves. They were at all the different stations and the things we had going on. It was a good time.
It was a good time. And again, we graduated 22 students that became fisher persons on July 10th, and we're proud of that. And I just want to reach out to George and Anne-Marie Wycheck from Frackville. They own and run the Tackle Box Fishing Shop at 102 Maria Road in Frackville. And every year, these folks donate all of the bait and all of the fishing supplies to our fishing programs. And I just want to reach out, George and Anne-Marie, thank you so much for your donation and your generosity to help us help the kids learn how to fish. So if you need any fishing supplies, the Tackle Box is your place to go. It's at 102 Maria Road in Frackville. They have pretty much everything. There's just a lot of lures and a lot of baits there. So I throw that in there as a commercial number one. Commercial number two, I guess, is I'd like to reach out to our loyal listeners, Johnny Tarson up in Frackville. John, good morning. I'm sure you're listening. Thank you for being a faithful servant of our program, if you will. And again, my wife, Georgianne Bondura, for allowing me to play this game. Heather and Danielle, you know who you are. John Clazis is out delivering car parts. John, be safe out there. John Armstrong, good friend of mine from New Philadelphia, and Frank Crampton. So hope everybody's doing well today. Thank you for being loyal listeners. So with that, I just want to talk a little bit about the fishing here in Schuylkill County. Again, you know, we've been getting some rain, which really hasn't done a whole lot to our water stream or lake levels. The water's a little too hot for trout fishing. If you're considering trout fishing, do it in the morning or in the evening when the water is a degree or two cooler. I would recommend or suggest that you maybe wanted to fish for some different species of fish. Bass fishing is good in the Schuylkill River below Auburn, from Auburn to Port Clinton and south. Muckchunk Lake is producing a good bit of smallmouth. but I'm under the understanding that they're really not too big. Sweet Arrow Lake, they're catching fish. They're catching some crappies and some panfish. And Owl Creek Reservoir in Tamaqua is often overlooked, but Owl Creek has a great fishery. The only thing you need to remember at Owl Creek is it's a catch-and-release lake. You can fish and catch basically anything if you're that good, but it needs to be released unharmed. So fishing is still good and alive here in Schuylkill County. You need to change your tactics a little bit and proceed with that. The New York Fishing Report, Lake Ontario, I just talked to one of the captains up there this morning, and the size of the king salmon is getting larger. There's a good bit of movement in the lake. The salmon are coming to the eastern basin of Lake Ontario, heading for the Salmon River. So if you want to go up there now and fish on the boat in Lake Ontario, yeah, now maybe be a good time to go up there. Jay-Z, I'd like to take you up there and have them fish put some manners on you someday.
They would put some manners on me, that's for sure.
So, again, fishing in Lake Ontario it's been good, but it seems to be picking up with some larger coho salmon, some larger Chinooks, and, of course, some steelhead and lake trout as a bonus. So with that, I'm going to go to my left and ask Peggy to talk a little bit about some of the things going on at the Red Creek Wildlife Center. And Peggy always has some interesting topics, and I certainly leave here every month with a whole lot of new knowledge about animals. So, Peggy, have at it.
Thanks for inviting me. Before I get into any of the July wildlife stuff, I have a question, a fishing question for you. Is there any place good in Schuylkill County for nighttime catfishing? July and August used to be the months years ago when I was a much younger person down at the Juniata and the Susquehanna down in Dauphin County for channel cats. Is there anything like that up here?
Yes. The Auburn Dam in Landingville is good. The Auburn Dam Spillway is good. The Schuylkill River between Auburn and Port Clinton is good.
Nice.
Sweet Arrow Lake is also not only good for catfish, but good for carp. Carp is the largest member of the minnow family, believe it or not. And if you catch a nice-sized carp, it's a great fight. I do know some people that cook the carp and use them as table fare. Mm-hmm. I've personally never eaten any, but I'm told if it's prepared correctly, it's a good fish to eat.
You know, at Red Creek, there's a lot of carp in the Red Creek.
Yes, I'm sure there are. But
and they get pretty big.
Yep, Schuylkill County does have some good catfishing at night. Sweet Arrow Lake would be a good choice, and Schuylkill River, Stoyer's Dam in Schuylkill Haven, Michael.
Very good. Very good. And actually, the John, you're just talking about the carp. I have pictures of people that have sent in that they've pulled carp out of Stoyer's Dam that are 3-4 foot long.
Wow.
Because they sit in the bottom there and nothing bothers them, and they just feed off everything. And
that would be a fight.
But I've been to the Auburn Dam and to actually go night catfishing, and it is an absolute blast.
Yes.
That's a great place to go because there's lots of space to spread out. You're not next to anybody, and it's so quiet. Yeah. It's very, very nice.
Yeah. Nice to know.
Yeah, not only channel catfish, but you have a lot of the species of catfish like the bullheads and everything, and they certainly, if the channel cats ain't biting, you usually catch the bullheads, and they're a great fish also. So yes, there are places in Schuylkill County to carp fish and catfish at night, and that's the best time to go. The catfish actually come a little closer to shore at night because their predatory instincts get them out there, and they're hunting. They love to hunt at night and feed at night. So Peg, you're right. Catfish fishing at night is the way to go.
Cool. When we were kids, it was funny because growing up in Orangeburg, I think the boyers in Orangeburg always knew when we were going catfishing because we would clean them out of the chicken gizzards.
Oh yeah, the liver.
And they knew because we come in and a bunch of teenage guys coming in. Well, where do they buy it? That's what it was. We were always stocking up, and we come in at the end of the night. And I will tell you, my brother taught me from an early age that's the secret right there. So, hey, lots of times as kids.
Yep, chicken gizzards are one of the favorites. And believe it or not, I just read an article the other day about channel cats. And there are several people recommend that they override the chicken gizzards, Michael. They say hot dogs are the best bait.
Hot dogs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow.
I guess maybe cheese-filled might be a little bit better.
I have a funny story for you. My mother loved to fish, but she fished in a still lake for trout with a bobber. And that's what she knew. And I took her catfishing one night, and when she threw in, we were down at the Juniata, when she threw in, the current constantly has the rod bobbing. And she's like, well, how do you know when the fish is on there? I'm like, it goes down straight, and then you got to start running after it because it'll be pulling down the shore.
Uh-huh. Yep.
That reminds me of a story, and I do have to mention the gentleman's name. Happens to be our Jay-Z, who is right here.
Peggy, you don't know how close that is to home.
I happen to know that Jay-Z lost a fishing rod that way by not paying attention to his bobber. And he had a bobber down, and before you know it, the rod ended up in the lake.
See, here's the thing, Peggy. John's being kind. I sat there as a little kid and showed patience of Job.
Yes.
Nothing was going on. Nothing.
Yes.
So after so long, I need a soda. I'm going to walk to the cooler. Well, number one, I didn't put the release on. It was locked. And my dad had a nice one of those Y. It was sitting in there and all. I got my soda and I heard woof.
Oh,
pulled it right out of there, pulled it right into the lake. My brother, very handy man, fished it out. And of course, dummy me, so was the fish still on it.
Hey, that was a really good sound effect.
But it was, yeah.
That was almost like the owl.
But that's why I said to John, if he wants to take something like this on and try and school me in fishing, this is what you're up against. I'm just saying. So that's a true story.
Well, I was down in Landingville the other day, and I ran across this young boy. And he asked the question that you can only ask in July. Where did all the male ducks go? Where did all the boy ducks go? And it's true. When you walk down there now, you don't see any male ducks.
Correct.
The answer is, and I sat down, and we had a really nice conversation, but I sat down and I explained, they're still there. They just now look like the girls. During breeding season, at the beginning of breeding season, the males have these really spectacular breeding plumage, all these colors. Like, figure with a mallard duck. They've got the green head and the white ring and just the spectacular colors. Well, when breeding is done, they don't need that anymore. And nature kind of says, your dating season's over. Now, don't get eaten. So what happens is they're going to change over all their feathers so that they're brand new for migration in the fall. But there's an intermediate plumage that they're wearing right now. It's called eclipse plumage, and it's a drab brown. And the reason, although I don't really know why nature does what it does, but we assume that the drab color keeps them camouflaged while they are flightless, because for several weeks they cannot fly. And it's also the time when the babies are learning to fly, and they all look like girls. So they're actually still there. And then come fall, they'll have all their beautiful colors back again before they migrate. So that was kind of a cool question.
That's very cool. Yeah. I had never thought of that. I mean, anybody that's been over to Stoyer's knows that we have an incredible population of ducks
right
at Stoyer's. And it is funny because people keep tabs on them. Mm-hmm. Like, they know, like, change like, from week to week. Hey, you know what? There's a couple more this week. Or, hey, a couple have gone off and like that. And but we have our set of little, like, gangs of ducks that go into everybody's backyards. And they're the troublemakers. And they're in my koi pond. And they're everywhere else. And but it's funny that, like, it's something as simple as that, you know, a little guy would question that. And but I, like I said, I see it from the people I get. Messages at work all the time, like, hey, you know, there's you know, 10 more ducks this week. And I'm like, I have no idea. They're in a pile. I don't count them all the time, but they know everything is changing and they have them dead on. So that's pretty cool. I've never known that.
Yeah.
So you never know who's watching you, right?
I watch what I do on a daily basis now because, I mean, if they're counting ducks, I know that it can't be far from anything else. So, yeah.
But when I was here in May and June, that's baby season. This is teenage season for the wildlife. The spring babies are growing up. And in the rehab setting at Red Creek Wildlife Center, they're getting bigger. We're nursing a lot less animals, so we're not bottle feeding a lot less. But they're taking up more room. They eat a lot more. They're starting to feed themselves. They're wilding up. They're a little more difficult to handle. We have over 100 raccoons this year. I think we are the only ones in the state taking raccoons right now. So we've had to limit the area we can take them from because we're pretty much at our limit. We've had over 600 baby bunnies come through this year so far. We have a baby eagle there right now. In the wild, though, the parents are still teaching the babies. And so they're going to be moving about. The animals are getting ready for migration. The preparations are just beginning. And the animals often do things that seem unusual and just not normal. And people call us because they see the animals doing weird stuff. But it's really normal for this time of year. It's a month where the baby wildlife are learning and they're traveling with their parents. So your hawks are flying with their parents. Baby bats are starting to fly. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. The fawns, although you still can have some born now, most of the fawns are getting old enough that they're starting to get up and play. And you'll be going down the road and you'll see twin fawns playing in the middle of the street. They're young, they're dumb, they do really stupid stuff. But some of the stuff they do looks dangerous. Some of it looks like a crisis, but it's really not. And before you intervene, call Red Creek or a wildlife center near you, because I'd rather spend 15 minutes on the phone talking to somebody, figuring out what's going on, than have a family interrupted or a situation made worse. You know, so we're there.
Have you seen from your job and your line of work, have you seen an uptick in fawns this year? Because I swear I've seen more this year. Then now, of course, you don't see them all the time. That's part of their whole, you know, is to blend in, stay quiet, stay down. But I've seen, I mean, it's been fantastic to see, but I've seen more, I think, this year than I can remember in recent years. Like, just even, you know, not straight out of town, just even on the, you know, going the back roads out of town, I've seen a lot more. And I just wondered if that's something that you guys are seeing.
Well, this is not scientific observation. It's just my 60 years of living in Schuylkill County observation. When I was a kid, I can remember driving out of Orwigsburg near the orphanage and looking up in the field, and there'd be 80 eyes looking back at you. And then for the longest time, there were none. You know, as building happened and urban sprawl happened, you know, and whatever, the deer population just plummeted. We started rehabbing fawns around 1998, 2000. And the landowners and even the farmers around us were like happy because they're like, the deer population is decimated. This is going to help, you know, bring back the herd. And now you drive that same road out of Orangeburg, you look up, there's 80 eyes looking at you. The whole herd has improved. And, to the point where we've even had a couple farmers concerned and called us about us releasing fawns because they think it might hurt their crops. So things have flipped. Things have changed. You're going to have more fawns when you have more adults. And the herds are a lot bigger. And the auto accidents are a lot more, too, because...
Yeah, I'm starting to see some deer that were hit aside of the road now. It seems to have picked up a considerable amount.
Right. But we've gotten more fawns in this year for rehab than we've ever gotten. And what might make our local farmers feel good is we're not releasing them at Red Creek this year. We are moving them out. Now, things might change. Chronic wasting disease is in part of our county. Like 61, Oregsburg, heading out that way toward like the Tuscarora area is quarantine area. Like you can't take fawns out of that area and bring it to Red Creek.
Okay.
If it's on the other side of 61, that's outside, on the Schuylkill Haven side, Auburn side, that's clean. And we can take those. Pine Grove, there's a line going west. If the zone ends up at Red Creek, we will no longer be allowed to do fawns because they won't allow it if you're in a chronic wasting area.
Oh, okay.
So we have to watch that.
Question for you.
Sure.
The primary bird species at my house are robins.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just curious. There's a little girl had a brood of babies probably about 2 months ago. And I just checked in the nest yesterday, and the last guy was standing on the edge of the nest ready to go.
Yeah.
So this is her second brood.
Mm-hmm.
Is that normal?
Yeah, I've seen robins have up to three. And unfortunately, the more they have, the weaker they get. Usually what we see, we'll have people like watching a specific nest, and the first run of babies, usually around May, they're really healthy. Then there'll be a second run, and they'll not be as strong. And I think maybe it's a lot of it has to do with the heat and such. And then sometimes they'll even have a third nesting. A lot of times we end up getting those babies because the females are exhausted.
Yeah, I know she was busy. She was doing a lot of feeding. The first brood she had were two, but this one she had three little ones.
Well, that's a low number, though. Yeah, I wonder if this is her first nest.
It could very well be.
Yeah.
But the first time she had two, and I never saw, after they left the nest, I know what day they left,
mm-hmm.
but I could never find them. They were gone.
They scatter, and then they can hop for blocks and blocks and blocks, and people see them hopping and they can't fly, and they think they need to rescue them.
But the best thing is probably not, right?
Right. But sometimes they'll find one like sitting in the middle of a parking lot or something. You can actually take that baby, you can pick it up, carry it 100 yards, put it deep into like a pine tree. Mom will find
She'll
it.
Find it. It's better to be in a tree than on the ground.
Yes, because it will give you shade from the sun and hiding from predators, that type of thing.
It's funny, like I talked to my mom. My mom has become the grandma that's the bird watcher now. So my daughters know. So she's got her book and she's got her binoculars and all that kind of stuff. And she right now has had an overwhelming amount of hummingbirds.
Yeah.
That seems to be the thing right now.
Well, the babies are leaving the nest now.
Yeah.
And they're learning to hunt. And then in the end of August, beginning of September, they'll start moving south. Yep.
And I have a lot of squirrels too, Jay.
Yes. So do I.
Squirrel season is starting again. Little itty bitty babies are being born now and into the next month. That's going to be our subject for next month. Is we're going to be talking a lot about squirrels and hummingbirds because they will be more active then.
Okay. Well,
I have a groundhog that has adopted my yard. He sits there, stares at me when I look him out the window.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Doesn't move.
A little woodchuck.
Oh yeah.
Do you guys get groundhogs?
We do. We get a lot of them. And we also work with another rehabilitator down in Lancaster County, Acorn Acres, and one of their specialties is woodchucks, and they sub-permit under us.
Yeah.
So, do they hammer your garden, I heard? Woodchucks.
Well, a lot of animals will hammer your garden.
Yeah. Seen a woodchuck, so he's guilty because I've seen him.
Yeah. Well, the best thing to do is hot peppers.
Okay.
And like chili powder is the cheapest thing to do,
mm-hmm.
but if you can get the really, really hot peppers like ghost peppers,
right.
Boil it and strain it and spray your garden with that.
Wow.
They won't eat it because they don't like it. And you have to replenish it after a rain and about every 2 weeks. But they don't like the hot sauce. Mm-hmm. Some people are like, how do we keep squirrels out of our bird feeders? You put hot peppers in the bird seed. It doesn't bother the birds. They actually love it.
Wow.
But the squirrels, they don't want that hot stuff. It burns their mouths. It burns their eyes. They don't want it.
Can you imagine that, walking up to the garden as a squirrel and thinking, oh, I'm going to grab a carrot, and then realizing there's ghost pepper on it?
Yeah.
That's got to be a quick lesson.
Yeah, fact. Quick,
yeah.
Right?
Real fast. Yeah, it works.
Wow. How about that? That's good to know.
Yeah.
So I have a groundhog living under my shed now.
Okay.
And last year I saw one groundhog. Guess how many this year?
How many?
A couple more than one, but they're, they don't bother anything. But I did plant some coneflowers down in the back, and whatever got me, they got me.
Yeah.
So it was
that hot pepper works for mammals, works for deer, works for
squirrels and woodchucks.
But it will not affect birds.
That's amazing to me.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Jay-Z, wow. Every month you get it.
I'm telling you.
You learn something new.
I'm armed with this information and I take it home to Stately Z Manor. I do, yes. Good. Yes, absolutely. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We're coming back with more after these messages. Stay with us on Let's Talk.
How many times have you heard,
I'm bored, there's nothing to do around here?
You're wrong. Here's why. Explore Schuylkill is your destination for all things Schuylkill. From outdoor recreation to attractions, events, and accommodations, Explore Schuylkill can tell you where to go, what to do, and how to get there. They even have a craft beverage trail. Download an app and discover local breweries, wineries, and distilleries. Be a tourist in your own backyard. Visit Explore Schuylkill at their location along Union Street in Pottsville or check them out online at schuylkill.org.
Tune in tonight for Philadelphia Phillies baseball on WPPA AM 1360 and 105.9 FM A106.
It's the middle game of a three-game series with the Dodgers from Citizens Bank Park. First pitch is set for 6:40.
It all gets underway with the Lehigh Valley Health Network pregame show 30 minutes prior to the first pitch. Phillies baseball on WPPA AM 1360 and 105.9 FM A106.
Best of luck to Jim Gustis of Pottsville. Jim is our Rodnick's Discount Groceries Hoagie Home Run Payoff Inning contestant for tonight's Phillies-Dodgers game. Our payoff inning will be the bottom of the fifth. If a Phillies batter goes yard in the bottom of the fifth, Jim will win a delicious 7-inch sub of his choice, courtesy of Rodnick's Discount Groceries. If a Phillies batter hits a grand slam, it's a hoagie tray, courtesy of Rodnick's. Best of luck to Jim Gustis of Pottsville, and best of luck to the Phils.
And now, it's Unpacking Travel. Here's Yana Derillis.
This is your travel report celebrating 250 years of America. Freedom 250. Long before resorts, the Cahuilla Native American tribe discovered the healing hot springs of Palm Springs thousands of years ago. Centuries later, Hollywood found it too. Sinatra and the Rat Pack built sleek glass getaway homes here, sparking the city's famous desert modern style. Sip a date shake, the valley's sweetest secret. The canyon's walls stack up nearly 2 billion years of Earth's history. That's older than just about anything, really. Catch the rim at dusk when those red and amber layers glow like embers on those fascinating rock formations. Then try the local delicacies and warm Navajo fry bread, made fresh right here on the edge of the canyon. This vacation, discover America. I'm Yana Derulis for the Worldwide News Network.
We've all been there, faced with a physical setback. Whether you've suffered a sports injury that takes you out of the game, or your aches and pains are keeping you from doing what you love, we all want the same thing, to get your life back. Thankfully, you can trust the region's only nationally ranked orthopedic team to help get you there. At Lehigh Valley Orthopedic Institute, we turn setbacks into comebacks, one movement at a time. Lehigh Valley Orthopedic Institute. Comebacks begin here.
Here at T102 WPPA, A106, and T102SportsNow.com, we pride ourselves on our coverage of our local high school athletes. And we're also proud of all the fine sponsors, viewers, and listeners that support what we do to cover our area kids. So impressed, in fact, are we that we've reached 2 million views on T102SportsNow.com. Each one of those views is organic. Not one bot, not one paid follow, nothing. Everything is thanks to you. As we look to the future to expand our outlets, thank you to all the people that have viewed, helped out, taken pictures, written stories, our area coaches and players for being so accommodating, as well as our area athletic directors. We'd also like to thank our sponsors. Without them, we wouldn't be able to do what we do every single day. They make it happen, and we look forward to being timely, accurate, and knowing all of our area athletes and covering them with professionalism and dignity. Thank you for making us Schuylkill County's number one source for local sports.
Get ready, Schuylkill County. The summer's biggest celebration is back. The Schuylkill County Fair runs July 27th through August 1st, and this year we're celebrating 250 years of freedom, family, and PA fairs. There's entertainment every day with possum personality from Johnny Piers and the Muttville Comics, tractor parades, and inspiring interactive talks for all ages. There'll be truck and tractor pulls Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday beginning at 7, a boilo competition Wednesday, and a cornhole tournament on Thursday. Tractor parades and inspiring interactive talks for all ages. There'll be truck and tractor pulls Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday beginning at 7, a boilo competition on Wednesday, and cornhole tournament on Thursday. Rides, check, games, absolutely. Great food, you bet. And every night at 7 and 9, don't miss our featured musical acts. Monday, it's classic rock hits with the new individuals. Tuesday, 6 times 9 brings recycled rock and roll. Wednesday, hear the variety from Eric Koala's Uptown Band. Thursday, the King returns with world-renowned Elvis tribute artist Jimmy Holmes with the Spinouts. Friday, Dave Bray USA brings anthem rock and roll music with a country edge. And Saturday, it's a one-of-a-kind tribute to Luke Bryan, Kenny Chesney, Shania Twain, and Keith Urban with Country Live. Admission is only $5, kids 10 and under free. It's the Schuylkill County Fair, where we're celebrating 250 years of freedom, family, and PA fairs. July 27th through August 1st, visit schuylkillfair.com for full details. Welcome back, folks. Hour number one of the program. It is the third Tuesday of the month here in our first hour, and that means we have got the Schuylkill Headwaters and Red Creek Wildlife Center Hour on Let's Talk. John Bondour and company in studio with us. Welcome back, John, after the break.
Thank you, Jay-Z. What number show?
7.
Okay, you're paying attention. That's what we like to hear. So right now, we have Peggy Hentz from the Red Creek Wildlife Center. We're in the middle of some discussions about the teenage animals and stuff out there. So, Peggy, I'm going to turn it back over to you, and if we have any questions or anything, we'll jump in.
Well, I figured I'd cover a few things that we get most of the calls this time of year on. In July right now, the baby bats are starting to fly, and they're just learning how to hunt. And just like any teenager, they're being stupid. They can end up on the ground. They can end up in your house. And They can end up exhausted. They can end up dehydrated. And a lot of people just don't know what to do. Sometimes I've heard people say just take them and carry them over to a tree and let them climb up. Or just put them outside if they're in your house. That is really not the greatest advice, because they might be dehydrated. They might be injured. And it would be a pretty good idea for us to at least take a look at them. So if you find a bat on the ground or in your house, it might be a good idea to capture it. And I'm going to tell you how to safely do that. And then call Red Creek and bring it over. And
I want to know how to get a bat out of the house if it's not laying.
Well,
I'm interested in it because I would be freaking out, I got to tell you.
Okay. First of all, if it's sitting somewhere,
okay,
you get a container and you just put it over and then slide something underneath.
But won't it fly away?
Not necessarily. If you get, say, it's like picking an insect up with a cup and a
and sliding paper
note card.
Under,
right, exactly. Yes, yes. You do not want to use your bare hands. If it is in a spot that you can't do the cup
right,
and paper
right.
That or
was my
cardboard.
Next question. Good job, Peggy.
Yeah. Then you either want to wear gloves or use a thick blanket because you do not want to touch it with your bare hands. Not because every bat has rabies, although they are rabies vector species and they can, but because any bite at all is a serious concern and is death to the bat. So if you really want to save the bat, handle it in a way that you never touch it. And that way we can concentrate on saving the bat's life and we don't have to switch gears and worry about saving your life. Because then the bat ends up having to be euthanized and its brain tested for rabies to make sure that you're okay. So don't touch them. Don't ever pick them up with your bare hands. If a bat is flying around a room that has somebody in it that is sleeping or somebody who cannot let you know if the bat was on them, like an infant or, you know, somebody who's unconscious or I'm just thinking of examples where somebody couldn't communicate that, then the bat should be captured. Bring it to us. Let us know. And we'll get it tested.
Test it.
Yes, because the smallest bite, you might not even feel it. And they might not know. So it needs to be tested. Another thing with bats in the house, and I'm going to tell you how to get a flying bat out in a second.
I'm dying to hear this.
Okay. One of the things is, and we've had this several times this year, is people have ended up having to get their cats rabies shots all of a sudden, and their cats are now under quarantine and being watched because a bat got in the house, and the owners had never gotten rabies shots for their cats because they didn't think there was a danger because the cats never go outside.
Right.
And the cats never going outside is the best thing for the cats. But wildlife can get in occasionally, and your animals should always be protected. So dogs and cats should always be vaccinated because if you find a cat playing with a bat and the cat's up on its vaccinations, all it needs is a booster. Mm-hmm. If it has never been vaccinated, it now has to be watched for quite a period of time. Yeah. Now, to get, okay, you want to know how to get a flying bat out of the house.
Yes, I do.
First thing you want to do is you want to open up all the windows.
Okay.
Yes. Turn out all the lights in the house, and they'll go toward the bright. Especially if it happens at night, you can take your car lights and you can shine them at the opening and then just get the bat moving. But the best thing to do is wait till it sits and either get it with a blanket or the box over method. Mm-hmm. And then make sure it is in a container that it cannot escape from. They can crawl out of something, a hole the size of a dime. So if you put them in a cardboard box and you do that fold over of the flaps it's got that little hole in the middle, people put the box in their car and get to Red Creek and the box is now empty and the bat's somewhere in their car.
Wow.
So
we got a call from my wife's aunt that they had a bat in the house, and she was beside herself afraid of this bat in the house. And for anybody out there who has ever seen Dan Aykroyd in The Great Outdoors, that was us walking into this house. We had baskets over our heads. We had football helmets on. Me, I didn't bother, but everybody, you would have thought we were getting ready for war. It was hilarious, and it was a great outcome. We ended up just finding it was actually in a closet hanging on just an old article of clothing, and basically we're able to kind of like slowly get it to move out of the house because we opened up the doors and got it to go. But it was funny. Yeah, if you've ever seen that movie, that's exactly what we looked like. We had every object. We had stuff taped together, flashlights. It was hilarious, and it was one of the funniest moments in my life. But it was nice because it all ended okay because, you know, the bat kind of went on its way. We did our thing. So, but yeah, it was that was a long time.
This is a time of year where a lot of people don't know that they have bats living in their house, and they discover it because the babies get in the house and they're flying around. So if this is not a good time of year to do an eviction, you don't want to exterminate bats. We need every single bat that's alive on the earth because the populations have been so decimated. We need every single one of them. But you can do what's an exclusion. which means first you have to find every single opening where they can get in and out of. Seal up all of them but one, and then you put a trap door there so that they can get out, but they can't get back in.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to wait until at least the end of August, beginning of September, because right now what you might do is you still might trap some babies in the house, and the mother will go out hunting, and then can't get back in to tend to her baby.
I'm not sure where we were. We were somewhere traveling, and I noticed now a lot of the bat boxes around. So those are pretty neat. I've never saw them before, and now I've started to see them a lot. So that's a pretty neat idea. Like, they, you know, random places that they're putting them up to, I guess, to give them what, roosting?
Yeah.
Is that what there is?
There's a science to putting them up, though. You can't just take a bat box and hang it on a wall somewhere.
Yeah.
It should be, you know, on the correct side of the house, and the temperature should be just right. We have a fantastic resource for bat information in Pennsylvania. We have the Pennsylvania Bat Rescue, which is in Berks County. And if you go to pawr.com, pawr.com, and click on Berks County, her information is there. Although I would say, don't just call her up for information right now, especially this time of year, because it's still... it's that teenage baby season thing, and we're all going nuts. So wait until fall. But it's a fantastic resource. Another thing that we're seeing this time of year is mange and foxes. And I think I touched on this a little bit last month. I'm not sure. But now we're getting calls about fox babies with mange, and people are wondering what to do about it. And right now, my suggestion is do nothing. Some mange is caused by a mite that is in the environment, and you probably have a couple on you right now. They're everywhere. But
looking at each other now. Like, we're all close. We're all looking at each other like,
where are we at?
Our immune systems take care of them, and they can't take over. And, but... if an animal's immune system is compromised, like, say, it had a tick bite and it got, what's that called? Lyme.
Lyme disease.
Lyme's disease. And their immune system is disrupted, that's when the mange mites can take over. So we're getting a lot of calls about babies, and some of the parents have mange, some of the babies have mange, but the reservoir may be with one individual in that group. And once the group ends up dispersing in the fall, the ones that don't have an immune problem will heal, and they won't need help at all. And the one that does have the problem will remain evident, and then in the fall, we go try to catch that one.
I see.
That way we don't split families up right now. It's a really important time for the babies to learn hunting skills. They need to stay together. They need to stay with their parents. So we don't want to go interfering with them now.
Mm-hmm.
If you go online, there are organizations that will mail you medication, ivermectin, to put out in the wild. We do not recommend that at all. With the adult foxes, if they have heartworm, which they can get just like a dog, and you give them ivermectin, you are going to cause a really horrible death. And also, you don't know who's going to eat mm-hmm. the bait. So we don't recommend putting like the ivermectin or the Bravecto or anything like that out. We do recommend eventually, once the families disperse, then we go out and try to live trap the ones that still have a problem before winter, because that's when it's really going to affect them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Now that's not something that just like that's there's several different animals out there that can get mange, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And we get it. It's called scabies in humans. You know, I had a friend of mine who was a rehabilitator years ago called me up, and she was really upset because she had picked up a young coyote, and she thought somebody had burned it or drug it and tortured it, and she sent me a picture of it on her lap. And I wrote back and went, that's mange. And a couple of days later, she called me and she's like, how do you get rid of mange? Because she ended up getting it. And in people, it's called scabies. But again, our immune system usually will take care of it.
So we're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll come back with more on the program after these messages. Stay with us.
We've got a problem.
What's wrong now?
It's spring. The snow's gone. The salt trucks are gone. The groundhog punched out for the year.
Your point?
Why are you putting all Carhartt clothing in stock on sale for 20% off? Isn't Carhartt just for winter?
Josh, have you been living in a heated garage?
Well, no.
Carhartt makes summer clothes too.
Right now at DeWald and Langle, save 20% off all Carhartt clothing in stock.
Carhartt shorts.
Shorts?
T-shirts.
T-shirts?
Polos.
Polos?
And UV Defender shirts.
Wait, Carhartt protects you from the sun now?
Last I checked, the sun works overtime in the summer.
Whether you're working outside, mowing the lawn, fishing, grilling, building a deck, or just looking good while pretending to work, save 20% on all Carhartt clothing in stock, including shorts, T-shirts, polos, and UV Defender apparel. DeWald and Langle, 1 mile west of the 183-443 intersection, Friedensburg.
I feel like I've learned something today.
That's a first.
Tune in tonight for Philadelphia Phillies baseball on WPPA AM 1360 and 105.9 FM A106.
It's the middle game of a three-game series with the Dodgers from Citizens Bank Park. First pitch is set for 6:40.
It all gets underway with the Lehigh Valley Health Network pregame show 30 minutes prior to the first pitch. Phillies baseball on WPPA AM 1360 and 105.9 FM A106.
Best of luck to Jim Gustis of Pottsville. Jim is our Rodnick's Discount Groceries Hoagie Home Run Payoff Inning contestant for tonight's Phillies-Dodgers game. Our payoff inning will be the bottom of the fifth. If a Phillies batter goes yard in the bottom of the fifth, Jim will win a delicious 7-inch sub of his choice, courtesy of Rodnick's Discount Groceries. If a Phillies batter hits a grand slam, it's a hoagie tray, courtesy of Rodnick's. Best of luck to Jim Gustis of Pottsville, and best of luck to the Phils. Welcome back, folks. Hour number one of the program. It's our third Tuesday of the month. That means it's the Schuylkill Headwaters and Red Creek Wildlife Center Hour on Let's Talk. John Bondura and company with us on the program. Had a question off air. Peg, this will be for you. Coming out this morning, there was the not-so-lovely aroma of a skunk. And anybody that knows me knows my fear of rural living right now. I don't mind the groundhog. I joked earlier and all that. I don't mind the squirrels or anything like that. But Pepe Le Pew, the skunk, is one of my biggest fears of getting sprayed. And it was pungent. I mean, yeah. I opened the door and I was like getting hit a punch in the face.
Well, that is a skunk that has lived in your area all along, all year.
Wrong answer, Peg.
but you never knew it was there because, honestly, they don't put off an odor unless there is a situation. If they have defended themselves or got injured, got hit by a car, or attacked by a dog or attacked by anything, then they will release their anal gland smell and it will fill an area up pretty good and you'll smell it for several days.
Driving in, means, you're like, smelling the clothes, is it still with me?
Hey, I'll tell you what though, when you do pick up that smell and you want to get your groceries, go then because people let you in line. They let you go through a lot quicker if you want to get ahead of the line.
I did not realize that, Peg, that I thought when you smelled skunk that he was just passing through on a normal flow type thing.
Now, it's very rare. Like, we probably have about 20 skunks in Red Creek right now.
Wow.
And most of the time you walk in, you smell nothing. They just live there. They don't put off an odor. But every once in a while, one will spray, and then the smell fills the building for a while.
And he sprays because he gets scared, correct?
Yeah, exactly. It's a defense mechanism. Yep.
Now, is it true they're one and done, or is that a falsehood?
Yeah, that's a falsehood.
I thought you debunked that last time.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they can hold back.
They
can empty, though. They can empty. There was one up in Frackville one time that got his head stuck in a dumpster. And I got him out, but everybody was like, aren't you afraid of him spraying you? And I realized he had already emptied himself.
Ooh.
And I ended up having to lay plastic down on the ground.
So you looked like a real trooper there.
But he wasn't going to spray anymore, and it was all over the ground. And I put a tarp down and laid down and didn't touch it, and I was fine.
You looked like the best hero of the day, right?
Yes, I looked really cool.
So let me ask you this: we've been talking a good bit today about Red Creek Wildlife Center. I know you have a lot of people there helping and stuff. How do the people on the outside contribute to your cause? How can we help you? What can we give you? How can we contact you? What can be done by the average person to help you guys help the animals?
The best thing to do would be to go to our website. And right now, the best thing that can help us is funds. And I don't usually bring that up because Red Creek, you know, we get the support and we have the support. But I guess with the economy, donations have been down quite a bit and we've been feeling that pinch. So any kind of funds would be great through the website. Also, we have a page there of donations if you don't want to give funds or can't, of different things we need all the time, like paper towels, dish soap, newspapers, things like that. We always keep a list on our website.
Nice. Any events coming up in the immediate future? I know later on in the year Santa will be at your facility.
Yeah, Santa will be there, that's
a long time down the road. What do we have in between there, Peg?
Well, this is something cool just starting. We have our open house in September. I believe it's around the 21st, 20th, something like that, whatever that Saturday is. But we had our education center open every Saturday and Sunday since the weather got nice. And we were going to continue to do that for 4 hours each day for people to come and visit. And it has not been attended. So we are closing that. It doesn't make sense for us to keep it open. However, I personally am going to start having events there. We're going to have Painting with Peggy next month. We're going to have an owl program sometime in the next month. We're going to have a falconry program and a Native American totem animal program in the fall. So follow us either on our website or Facebook for the dates. And we're going to open up that building for special events rather than have it open all the time for visits.
Cool. Yep.
We're trying to utilize it the best that we can.
It sounds good. Peg, thanks for coming in as usual. I know Jay-Z will be taking a test here shortly. I think you'll do well. There's been a lot of...
Bats and skunks.
Yep, yes. There's been a lot of great information passed along. And I myself am still learning at my old age. Peggy, again, thank you for coming in. Your presentation is always... phenomenal. Michael, thank you for coming up representing the Schuylkill Haven Recreation Department. And I'll be talking to you off the air a little bit, Michael. Jay-Z, thank you for having us. Show number 7.
Yes.
Sounds like it was certainly a success. Yep. And we'll hope that everybody is back for show number 8. And that one will be in August.
Indeed. And you can hear show number 7 on the website later this afternoon. We'll have it up for you, WPPARadio.com. Click on the Let's Talk icon, and it'll be right there on the top. You're listening to WPPA Pottsville.